Spin selling. Situation, problem, implication, need payoff. By Neil Rackham. The traditional selling models, methods, and techniques that most of us have been trained to use work best in small sales. For now, let me define small as a sale which can normally be completed in a single call and which involves a low dollar value. Unfortunately, these tried and true low value sales techniques, most of them dating from the 1920s, don't work today in complex, high-value sales. The problem with these techniques isn't that they are outdated. People wouldn't still be using them after 60 years unless they had something valid to offer. Their inadequacy, and my reason for this book, is that these techniques work effectively only in very simple, low-value sales. Because most writers and training designers have made the inaccurate assumption that what works in a small sale will automatically work in a large one. People have unfortunately come to assume that these traditional techniques are equally valid in major sales. But in this book, I'll be showing you that what works in small sales can hurt your success as the sales grow larger, and I'll be sharing with you our research findings that have uncovered new and better models for success in large sales. The spin strategy. Situation questions. In our research at Huthwaite, we found that very early in the sales call, particularly with new accounts or new customers, salespeople's questions tend to follow an identifiable pattern. Suppose, for example, that you're calling on me for the first time. What questions would you ask? You might want to know something about me, so you'd ask questions like, what's your position? How long have you been here? Do you make the purchasing decisions? What do you see as your objective in this area? You might also want to know something about my business, so you might ask, what sort of business do you run? Is it growing or shrinking? What's your annual sales volume? How many people do you employ? You would need to understand how my business was operating, so you might ask questions like, what equipment are you using at present? How long have you had it? Is it purchased or leased? How many people use it? What's the common factor in all these questions? Each one collects facts, information, and background data about the customer's existing situation, so we gave them an obvious name. Situation questions. Situation questions are an essential part of most sales calls, particularly those calls made early in the selling cycle. What did our research uncover about them? Situation questions are not positively related to success. In calls that succeed, sellers ask fewer situation questions than in calls that fail. Inexperienced salespeople ask more situation questions than do those who have longer sales experience. Situation questions are an essential part of questioning, but they must be used carefully. Successful salespeople ask fewer situation questions. Each one they ask has a focus or purpose. Buyers quickly become bored or impatient if asked too many situation questions. These findings are easy to explain. Ask yourself who benefits from situation questions, the buyer or the seller? Clearly, the seller. A busy customer doesn't generally derive great delight and happiness from giving a salesperson detail after detail of his or her situation. And this is especially true of professional buyers and purchasing agents. Problem questions. Experienced salespeople are most likely to ask questions like these. Are you satisfied with your present equipment? What are the disadvantages of what you're handling this right now? What are the disadvantages of the way you're handling this now? Does this old machine give you reliability problems? Isn't it difficult to process peak loads with your present system? What's the common factor in all these questions? Each one probes for problems, difficulties, or dissatisfactions. Each invites the customer to state implied needs. We called them problem questions, and our research found that problem questions are more strongly linked to sales success than situation questions are. In smaller sales, the link is very strong. The more problem questions the seller asks, the greater the chances that the call will be successful. In larger sales, however, problem questions are not strongly linked to sales success. There's no evidence that by increasing your problem questions, you can increase your sales effectiveness. Problem questions and experience. It's also easy to understand why experienced people ask fewer situation questions and more problem questions. I can remember how this happened in my own selling. Possibly you have similar memories. When I was young and inexperienced, my typical sales call consisted of as many situation questions as the buyer would let me ask. Then, when the inevitable glazed expression crossed the buyer's face, usually followed quickly by signs of impatience, I'd stop questioning and begin to talk features of what I had to offer. If at that point in my career you told me to ask about the buyer's problems, I would have been reluctant. Even the safe situation questions were making my buyers impatient. I certainly don't want to risk upsetting them further with potentially offensive questions about problems. But the day came when I screwed up my courage and began to ask about problems. To my surprise, instead of being offended, customers started to sit up and take notice. My calls improved. Soon, I was spending more and more of the call asking about problems and less time uncovering the interminable details of the situation. Most experienced people I've talked to can remember a very similar transition in their own selling. Need payoff questions. Basically, they are questions about the value or usefulness of solving a problem. We call these positive solution-centered questions need payoff questions. What's the psychology of need payoff questions? They achieve two things. They focus the customer's attention on the solution rather than on the problem. This helps create a positive problem-solving atmosphere where attention is given to solutions and actions, not just problems and difficulties. They get the customer telling you the benefits. For example, a need payoff question like, "How do you think a faster machine would help you?" might get a reply like, "It would certainly take away the production bottleneck, and it would also make better use of skilled operator time." Making your preliminaries effective. Preliminaries, as we've seen, don't play a crucial role in a larger sale. The most important test of whether you're handling preliminaries effectively is whether your customers are generally happy to move ahead and answer your questions. If so, then you're probably handling this stage of the call acceptably. Be concerned about these three points. 1. Get down to business quickly. Don't dawdle. A common mistake, particularly for inexperienced salespeople, is spending too long on pleasantries. As a result, the call runs short on time. The customer has to stop just when you're getting to a critical point. If you find that your calls often run out of time, it's worth asking yourself whether you're getting down to business quickly enough. 2. Don't talk about solutions too soon. One of the most common faults in selling is talking about your solutions and capabilities too early in the call. As we've seen in previous chapters, offering solutions too soon causes objections and greatly reduces the chances that the call succeed. How often do you find yourself discussing your products, services, or solutions with the customer during the first half of the call? If it happens frequently, then it may be a sign that you're not handling the preliminaries effectively. If in your case it's usually the customer who's asking the questions and you're in the role of providing facts and explanations, then it's likely that you've not sufficiently established your role as a questioner during the preliminaries. 3. Concentrate on questions. Never forget that the preliminaries aren't the most important part of the call. Often, when I've been traveling with salespeople, I've noticed that they waste time before a call worrying about how they should open it when they could be using that time far more effectively to plan some questions instead.